This is Diana Stinn.
Jill Mann.
And we're here today with our special guest,
Lori DeRosier.
Yay! So, today we're going to cover a wide variety of different topics. We have a lot for you this show. It's been a little while since we had a squat cast, but we're here today to bring you lots of delightful goodies. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the wing feathers, so the wonderful things that people have done here at the Phoenix Foundation, what's hatching, good egg, bad egg, who's flown the coop, under our wing. And then I think we'll finish up.
I think they'll be ready for us to finish up.
Okay, so let's meet our special guest. Lori, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been homeschooling since my soon-to-be 18-year-old started kindergarten, so I've always homeschooled. And I also have a 9-year-old that I'm homeschooling now. And I am the contact person for Central Alberta Homeschoolers, the Yahoo group, as well as for Alberta HS for Sale, the Yahoo group.
Yeah, and HS for Sale, it's a handy little site. You can buy all kinds of used resources there, and homeschoolers across the province, right, Lori?
Yep.
Post stuff there?
Alberta-wide.
So you can clean out your own closet or fill it up, whichever direction you're wanting to go.
Yahoo!
And the Central Alberta is a support group, correct?
Yeah.
So that's one for them to sit and chat.
Yeah, so if you're in Red Deer area, anywhere south of Edmonton, north of Calgary, and anywhere in between.
Perfect.
I'm your gal.
Yeah, you most certainly are. And I have to say, Lori, we've had a long history. Noah went to our kindergarten program here.
Yes.
And you have, did you ever teach with us?
Oh, probably, yes.
Well, I know she did for our instructors some wonderful
lessons. Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, maybe we might have to have you back next year to teach us all about lap booking again. I think it's about time.
Yeah. I love it.
Okay, you're on. All right, in the meantime, rolling into our first little segue here, wing feathers. So the wing feather section is where we acknowledge something wonderful that somebody has done for Phoenix. So today we'd like to acknowledge
Arnie Palmer. He's working on dividing the preschool room into a new music room and meeting room. Arnie is a grandpa of one of our kindergarten students. We also want to send a special shout out to the Jackson family for donating the glass brick that is going to be decorating the wall.
And this is where we insert those special effects. Ready?
Yay!
What can I say? We're a really high-class organization around here.
Nothing but the best.
Okay, so our next little segment is called What's Hatching? So in this particular situation, we talk about what's coming up and what kind of events we have happening here at the center. So we just are in the middle of Bugs World. Very exciting. What do you think of the Creation Studio, Lori?
I love it. It's awesome for learning, I think. And the kids are really, really excited to be in there.
Absolutely. Super cool. Big bugs of all shapes and sizes. Jill, you really outdid yourself this time around.
I have an awesome crew who will do whatever I ask them to do. They find a way. I don't know.
Crazy bunch back there.
Yeah.
Okay, so always at the end of every theme, we end with a feast. This time round, as Lori pointed out, it coincides nicely with Earth Day. And of course, the theme being bugs. So we will be having some buggy pasta.
There you go. I was getting a little concerned for a second, but
Jill found some bug pasta. No, really, bug pasta.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's healthy pasta.
It is.
Fiber.
And she found it at Safeway.
I did.
And so that is going to form part of our Earth Day meal. What else Miss Bethany, our Red Seal chef, has planned for this outstanding feast? But we do plan to have
chicken.
Yeah. Absolutely. We have chicken at every feast. And Jill has this fantastic idea that we should whack up all the chickens and make a gigantic centipede out of it.
All the legs lined up with the little wings as toes.
Could be very exciting. You'll want to come out to it. So when is it? April 20th at noon. The cost is $10 per person or $40 for the family. Guaranteed.
Centipede.
Maybe we'll leave this
part
in there.
Poetry. It is. Oh, right.
It's
like poetry month.
Segue into poetry.
Okay, so as Lori points out, this month is poetry month. So there you go. I'm not sure what kind of poetry that would be, but perhaps it would be a limerick?
A limerick.
I don't know. A loony limerick. Our next section is called Good Egg, Bad Egg. Jill, reach over there. Grab that box.
Oh, I have reached over here and got that box.
Okay, so in that box is the beginning of our new program that we're starting in September. It's called HS Helper, and it's for grades 4, 5, and 6. And what's going to happen is that if you sign up to this program, you'll get a backpack full of resources, plus a whole bunch of free classes and support and cool little badges and everything. Very cool. So watch your email for some additional information about the HS Helper.
In the meantime, it comes in a backpack.
It does. It's so cute. Okay, so Jill's pulling out a bunch of resources out of the box. So a couple of things that we're going to review. Part of the backpack is going to be things that people might not purchase on their own, or that they might come in a book of 30 or something like that, so they don't want it because there's so many. There's going to be a few textbooks in the mix so that people might get started with having a textbook. Not too much more of that, though. And then a whole bunch of commercial resources. So one of the things that we pulled out of here is a... What size would you say that is, Lori?
I don't know.
2 foot by...
11 by 18.
Okay, we'll go with something like that. A big thing. Anyways, it is a poetry unit, but on large sheets of paper. It came in a pack of 30, so there's no way a homeschooling parent would buy the whole 30. But super cool that you could get one in your backpack, and kids like different sizes and different shapes. So although poetry is something that maybe kids kind of frown a little bit about and aren't too excited, when it's on a different kind of piece of paper or different size or different shape, then they think it's cool.
And you have tea and goodies, and they're cookies. Excited.
That's what I would say.
Okay, what else you got there? Lori, what have you got?
I have a textbook of Voices of Alberta, People, Places, and Possibilities. It's very colorful.
It is. So this is the grade 4 textbook. It's all about Alberta. And in some ways, the easiest way to cover this is by lots of field trips. And then having the little textbook that gives you the perspective of the entire province. Okay?
And then we have Canadian government.
Can you guess what grade that would be for?
5 to 8. Because it says right there.
You are so perceptive.
It's for grade 6 for democracy.
And let's visit Alberta.
Okay, so this one, the reason why our teachers chose this one was because it's actually a workbook. So, while a lot of us who have homeschooled for a long time don't really use workbooks anymore, we prefer models and hands-on kinds of things. Our kids are actually getting older and are really good at using their iPads and GarageBand and taking photos and making movies and things. There's still a lot of families that like workbooks. So we had planned to put in this as a piece of that so that they would have a workbook.
What else have you got there? I have pockets. I always loved History Pockets by Evan Moore.
Did you ever
I like
use
those
them?
Too. Yes. They're great.
They're quite similar to a lap book theory, mm-hmm. and it's a great way to show the child's learning when grandma comes to tea and what mm-hmm. have you learned.
Exactly. So History Pockets, I think there's a whole bunch of them, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot. There's literary, there's history, just science pockets. They offer so many different things. I loved these. I'm sad my kids finally outgrew them.
Yeah, they basically go up to sort of grade 6 type level and are particularly interesting for kids. Definitely, I would say sort of the 4 to 6 range. Mine mm-hmm, really liked sort of there.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay, what else have we got there? We have Tools of the Ancient Greeks. So this one is a commercial product and just has a whole bunch of great hands-on activities. So one of the topics for grade 6 is, of course, democracy. And so exploring ancient Greek ideals and locations and so on is a part of that. So, like I said, good book, quite like it. I like things with pictures, personally.
Yeah. I like the selection of the novels that are in here. I'm really excited about the possibilities here.
I think what Kim was looking at when she picked these particular ones was trying to cover some of the social studies topics, because grade 4 to 6 is talking about Canada, Alberta, democracy, those kinds of things. And we just sort of figured, for example, here was one that's called Vote for Amelia. And it's a little book And the girl runs her own campaign to become sort of class president. But look at the inside. It's got great pictures. It's written...
like a little journal.
Yeah, a diary. Very casual feel, not intimidating, but it's nice. Yeah,
a little sort of graphic novel type thing. Mm-hmm. And so it would actually show the democratic process being carried out by a character, but still, like I said, good fun. Mm-hmm. And then I thought some of these ones, they're sort of Canadian type novels, so it would make history come alive for kids. And we haven't gotten to the science stuff yet. So what we're hoping for the science stuff is that we would actually have a whole bunch of science experiment crates for them. And
I love crates.
Yeah. Well, they won't be the full-out crates that we have offered in the past, but, enough.
In a backpack.
Yeah, exactly. It has to all fit in a backpack. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I loved this book, The Incredible Journey. Yeah. Sorry, I'm going down memory lane here.
Okay, so lots of resources. You can find out more about the Homeschool Helper program coming up here shortly from your learning coach, and it will be posted on our website as well. For those of you who don't know, our website is www.phoenixfoundation.ca. Okay, so our next segment is Flown the Coop. Who is flying the coop? Well, that would be me.
Yes.
I'm leaving you.
Mobile homeschooling for a whole week, and then you must be back.
Have you ever, Lori, in your journeys, people have said, oh, homeschooling, and you kind of look at them like, when?
Yes, I wish.
So quite often we homeschool in our vehicles. We homeschool on the road, all kinds of different places. Can you tell me, Lori, where's the funniest place you've ever homeschooled?
In the bathroom.
One of Megan's favorite places, too.
Yes, I won't give the details, but yes, we have homeschooled in the bathroom.
Yes, the bathtub was a favorite place when Megan was little. She loved to mix colors, and then it was easy to just wash everything down the drain. We did all our science experiments in the bathtub, again, because you could wash them all down the drain.
Exactly. Less mess.
Absolutely. Okay, our final segment is called Under Our Wing, and we wanted to spend a couple of minutes just talking a little bit about the fact that we have 30 new rescue students this year, and just prior to us taping or recording this podcast, we actually just had a brand new homeschooling family here, so we thought we might talk about some of their fears, because that tends to be the biggest thing. They're fearful.
Yep. The reality is this homeschooling is very doable, but you're scared.
Yes. And in this particular case, the mom has researched homeschooling for 4 years. 4 years. And now it's time to actually do it. So when I asked her what was holding her back, her first comment was fear. Fear about losing some educational ground with her kids.
Yeah. Oh, they're falling behind a bit, this child, and you're worried about, but if I take them out, they could fall behind. But that's already happening, and that's a guarantee. So try something new.
Absolutely. I'm not sure who, it's often attributed to Einstein, I believe. But, if you keep doing the same thing
time after time. Expecting different results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I think they call that insanity. Anyways, the next fear was fear about ruining your kids. So, Lori, did you ever have that worry when you were started out homeschooling your kids?
Well, I started in kindergarten. I figured I would start in kindergarten, and if I really screwed them up, I could still send them to grade one, and I wouldn't have done too much damage. But we had such a great experience that I never looked back from that for the next year. I'm not one of these people that decides year to year, is this the year that I'm going to send my kids back? That was just a decision that was made back after kindergarten. We had such a great experience that we never looked back.
Absolutely. Now, Jill, you pulled Sarah out partway through. And so, was it a tough decision? Was it fearful?
Oh, it was terrified. But honestly, at that point, I was more afraid of what would happen if we didn't make a change.
Exactly.
And so, it really kind of bubbled up quite quickly in relation to how a lot of people, mill around it for a while. But I was definitely fear-based, but I didn't know what to do and kind of thought we'd try homeschooling out. And then again, it worked so well for our family, and it really solved a lot of the issues that my daughter was having, and never looked back. And, you know, she's grown into a lovely young woman and is very capable of living her life and being employed and is not a social pariah and is not incapable of functioning in the real world. Has a job and everything.
Well, and I think that's the thing, is people get to a certain point where, yes, you have to take that leap of faith, mm-hmm. but also at that point, they are now done. Mm-hmm. They're done with whatever they have been doing, and they know that they have to try something else.
Yep.
So. Absolutely. Although one of the things that this particular mom expressed was a worry about, well, I don't know how to teach that. I can't do it by myself. I'm scared I'll be by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that, Lori?
Well, I think the first thing that you should do when you're thinking about homeschooling is find support group, find other people that are homeschooling. And I always say, like, it doesn't have to be a huge group, just one or two people that you can connect with. Hopefully, maybe they have kids the same age or a little bit older and who've been doing it just a little bit longer than you. And if you connect with them personality-wise, then they can be on the journey with you and all the ups and downs.
Well, Lori was one of my first connections many years ago, and we came into homeschooling, and she was one of my very first, as was Diana. Mm-hmm. We've all been around a long time. We're still supporting each other.
Absolutely. And that doesn't change. I mean, there are days that are very, very good. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, another concern this mom expressed was, well, my relationship right now with my child is not great, but if I homeschool, oh my gosh, then what happens? Could it be worse?
We're already struggling. We're already fighting over homework. They come home, they're not happy, and they're stressed from their day at school, and they're driving their brother or sister crazy, and
But I have found generally, I see families who have homeschooled for quite some time, mm-hmm. and it's not an immediate transition. It doesn't, mm-hmm. you make the decision and poof, everything is better.
No.
But rather, it takes time. And, you know, you work on some of those issues that you have outstanding between you and your child. And I know you love your daughter and have an amazing relationship with your daughter. I love my daughter very much, and I have an outstanding relationship with her. And Lori, how do you feel about your kids?
I love them to pieces, and I think it's a lot easier to work on a relationship when somebody isn't tired and grumpy from being all day at school. Mm-hmm. And the more time you spend together, the more time you spend together, and it's mm-hmm. quality time. So it's easier to work on relationship issues, I think.
Well, and you don't only have 2 hours in the evening to work on it.
When you're both tired and frustrated
you
and upset.
You have your morning cup of tea or your bowl of cereal, and then it's lunchtime, and, you know, Mom, I need some help with this language arts, you know, because mine are older now. They're not needing the hands-on, you know, sitting at the table.
Yep. And the other thing I find is that it's not just about the quality time. Mm-hmm. We have lots of quality moments, but we also have quantity. Mm-hmm. And good relationships are built on quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is just that we're all sitting around the table. We're all doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
We're not actually interacting, but we're together.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of my very favorite moments. We share a joke. Somebody's looking at something. Hey, you got to see this. And, you know, and then next thing you know, we're all laughing and giggling together over something.
Well, I have to say, there's a picture floating around on Facebook that just cracks me and my cracks me and my family up. There's a picture there's a picture of a whole family, and there's the TV on in front of them, and they're all sitting there with laptops and their phones and all of that. And my family and I do that. We sit there and we laugh
too.
And, you know, we show the jokes, or we're watching a show. And what was that about Nelson Mandela? Well, wait a minute. Hold on. I'll Google it. Oh, here's a whole bunch of sites. Which site is actually reliable? This one is. Okay, well, here, this is what it says there. So we had a learning moment. We're just communicating. It's not like, okay, kids, let's sit down and talk about this moment.
Right.
Because if you watch TV, there are some questionable moments that you might be able to have that opportunity to talk about an awkward moment with your teenager in a very easy way. And ta-da, you had it, because they're all there.
Exactly. So sometimes just being together, that quantity is more important than quality. Anyways, just a final note to wrap us up here. We are starting to accept registrations for next year as of April 2nd. So if you would like to be part of the Phoenix Foundation, we are here to support you and start you on your journey. Mm-hmm. Please pop into the office. We're located at 320 19th Street Southeast for your registration form, a tour, and a talk. Jill and myself are happy to take you around and to chitter-chatter about your worries and fears. Okay, Lori, we're wrapping it up. You got any final words for all those homeschoolers out there?
Have fun!
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. The weather is changing. That we're going to start finding little bugs outside.
I saw a gopher today.
I know, very exciting. It's the only time of the year we're actually excited about gophers.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, guys, so take care and please be kind to each other and make sure you're learning lots.